possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, families argue about 300 times a year. And like leaving the lights on, hogging the bathroom, they may seem like small things, but they lead to these 300 arguments at home. Researchers found that the average household parent and child, they spend hours fighting every week. 53% described their home as chaotic. 42% said that their house was constantly noisy. And some of the noise is what's causing the problem. 35% said they wouldn't have it any other way. They like the chaotic family life.
I do too. We always had cousins and everybody who lived close, so it was always crazy chaos, loud. I loved it.
Yeah. But they reveal the most arguments take place between the child and the parents, and it's closely followed by moms and the children mainly, not the dads. Dads don't argue as much with the kids, and the fewest arguments take place between the mom and the dad. So that's good news.
That's surprising news. Because a lot of arguments I would see growing up, especially at my friend's house, would be between the mom and the dad.
Oh, I never saw that. Mm-hmm. I always saw me and my brothers were fighting each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do the I told you we were supposed to be there an hour ago kind of fights count, where you're like smiling so the kids don't notice, but you're actually arguing?
Yes.
It's just you're trying not to let the kids let on that you're in the middle of an argument.
While you're arguing.
That was your turn. I told you.
While you're arguing with your significant other.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yeah. That was not mentioned in here, but I'm sure that goes on. But the sons under the age of 10 were labeled as the loudest family member. Boys are much louder than girls, I think. A quarter of the parents said the continuous bleeping, cheeping, buzzing of the handheld gadgets actually drove them up the wall. My son's got one game he plays, and it's got the most obnoxious music. And I'm like, can you please turn that down, especially when you're in the car? Kids also shouting indoors and loud music being played is what's causing the arguments as well. Can you turn the music down just a little bit?
What?
Turn the music down.
What'd you say?
Did you not hear me? And then... what else? Some of the things that they say, leaving lights on causes a problem between the kids and the parents. Hogging the bathroom mentioned.
Sometimes things take time.
But also not flushing the toilet.
That's gross.
Okay, but the kids sometimes don't do that. You walk in.
I don't think that's been a big issue at our house.
Well, why would that cause an argument?
Your house is not normal sometimes, Tom.
It's the most perfect house.
Well, it's normal is leaving turds in your toilet. I don't want to be normal.
Okay, but it's your kids are super good.
I mean, that's not super good. That's normal.
All right, let's see if they do any of these things. Refusing to put down their gadgets.
Who, my kids?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll put them down if I tell them to.
Being too loud, not being ready on time was a problem. Slamming doors. That happened at your house?
Sam went through that stage for a while.
Okay. Who started a fight or whose fault was it? So the parents have to come in like the judge you see on TV.
The referee.
Yeah. And they both tell their stories and you're trying to figure out whose fault it was.
I always say I'd never want to be a cop because you walk into those situations and they're like, well, he did this, she did, and I'd be like, you know what? Both of you are going to jail. I'm tired of both of you.
There you go. There you go. Children not wanting something for dinner is
they should not get a choice if you ask me.
I know.
That's different. People are different.
Okay. Messy bedrooms, a point of contention when it comes to arguments. Shouting indoors and the younger ones jumping on the furniture is a problem.
It's fun.
It is fun. You know, but it does damage the furniture sometimes.
When's the last time you jumped on a bed? I was at a hotel. I had to do it. It was a nice mattress.
How old were you?
Not that long ago.
I got you.
Not
last
that long
week.
Ago.
Another problem, they say, is primary school children practicing their musical instruments. Children learning to play violins or recorders. Oh. They say that most parents have to just grin and bear it, even though it's driving them up the wall.
I've lived in an apartment complex. It drives the neighbors crazy, too.
Yeah.
We had them try to practice, and they suck.
We had a garage band.
Like, really?
Yeah, and it was right across the street. But when that drum kicked in every afternoon after school, they would come over and practice, and it was loud.
Were they good?
Eventually.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I don't know how many of us have this, but something that I really enjoy is my text thread with a bunch of high school buddies. And it's like four or five of my best friends from high school, and we just stay in touch throughout the day.
Every day?
Some days we'll talk more than once. Some days we'll miss a day, but we are pretty regular. And so I found out something about one of my buddy's wives that I thought was pretty crazy. He told us that they went and they were on a road trip. They stopped in at a gas station. She bought sunflower seeds.
Uh-huh.
She came out and he noticed that she was eating them oddly. She would put the entire sunflower seed in her mouth and chew it up and eat it.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people do that.
Wait, shell too? She would eat the shell?
Shell too.
Yeah. That's like the baseball players. They eat them and then they spit out the shell.
Okay, that's not eating the shell.
No. Oh, she ate and didn't spit it out.
Yeah,
she
ate the whole thing.
Okay.
I'm like, well, she must be really regular because that's a lot of fiber. That's way more fiber than people are intended to eat. So I posted this on my Facebook, asked people about it, and guess what? Other people also do this, and they also eat peanuts with the shell.
Like boiled peanuts?
Not boiled, like salted, like the hard ones.
The boiled peanuts will be a lot easier. They're softer.
Well, you think about those when you're at Logan's Roadhouse or whatever. If you ate the whole shell, that's going to like cut your throat going down because the shells get pokey.
You won't want to eat your meal. You'll fill up on peanuts.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of more about what it's going to cut on the way out.
Well, that's true, too.
That's just what makes people think that's part that should be eaten.
The dry peanut shells, I barely even like for them to touch my mouth when I'm cracking them.
Really? Because I suck on those to get the salts off them.
Okay, so you put those in your mouth to crack them?
Yeah, like a squirrel.
I put them in my mouth just to suck on them. No, that's not unusual.
If you're strong enough, you just pinch them. Yeah. Who bites them?
I do.
Not me. That's weird.
I like the salt on them. I suck the salts of them off.
You suck the salt off a regular honey roasted peanut and then put it back in a dish.
You drink soy sauce at a sushi restaurant.
I like salt.
What was we were in a meeting and he was sucking what? What was he? He was eating something.
He put a straw down into
that was at a restaurant.
That was soy sauce at a restaurant. We were in the meeting.
Yes.
He was taking some kind of candy, sucking the good part off, and then spitting it back in a bowl.
And then passing the bowl around.
Tom!
There are those sodium peanuts.
You don't know.
I love how this started off with me saying something weird, and then it turned to them bullying you.
I'm used to it.
Y'all are both weird.
I'm just saying everybody's weird. Why judge this girl for eating the shells?
Because that's really weird.
You
would think it was weird if you saw someone eating the shells.
Yes, I do, but I think it's weird to drink soy sauce from the bottle.
And you know it's got to be like corn. What you're saying with that there, Tori?
It's never goodbye. I'll see you again.
Yeah, you'll see those again.
I'm just wondering what else people eat like that. Because, like, I know that some people might eat the banana with the peel on.
No.
Maybe they eat corn with the husk.
Ugh.
No.
That's just crazy.
Well, these are crazy, too.
Avocados, maybe, with the skin on it.
That's not the issue. The pit would be the issue.
I don't even like kiwi fruit with the skin.
I mean, some people eat the outside of the Oreo.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, I know.
It's bitter. It's not good.
I want that white creamy part in the middle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My gosh, why don't they just sell sleeves of that?
I don't know.
That'd be so good.
It should just come like butter. Yeah. One of those wrappers, just unwrap it and slice it up like butter. Spread it on your toast.
Isn't that what they give in some church when you do communion? It's a little white disc.
And ate that.
That would be neat if it was the inside.
That's those oyster crackers they give at church for communion.
Those are good too, though.
Yeah, but they don't give any oysters.
I just wonder if there's any medical problem with eating that. It seems like you could hurt some of your innards with the splinters. Because, I mean, those splinter up pretty bad.
It's surprising some of the things you can swallow and you see people pass. And even your dog. You see your dog pass like there's yarn. I mean, you know, I'm like, what? Was he knitting? I'm like, what's going on? It's like, is that a pot holder? What is that? How did he do that?
I've seen dogs eat a lot of things.
I know, but it's like you go back and you do the investigation like Sherlock Holmes, and you're like, okay, how did he do that?
That's where my sweater went.
Exactly.
I had one of those string mops one time.
Okay.
And my Daisy was running around with it hanging out.
Yeah.
And I had to just,
reel her in.
I had to pull, just keep pulling.
But you think, though, I'm like, those seeds are, you can't digest some stuff, but it passes through anyway. People swallow coins sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know.
I mean, a coin just makes its way through. That's no problem.
But I think a seed would do the same
thing. But the seed is sharp, and it can cut and tear.
What happens when you swallow a quarter and two dimes and a nickel comes out?
You make change.
All right, now you're being dumb.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
You know, women are fascinating and complex, and understanding them better can make a relationship go much smoother for the fellas. But I got some things all men should know about women. Now, I don't know if these are true or not. Maybe you can help me out this morning.
Well, you know, I have a book. It's everything men know about women.
Really?
And yeah, it was completely blank. Every page in the book is blank.
All right, they say women love men with a sense of humor and dislike those who constantly brag. True or false?
I think they like both of those sometimes.
You like a man that's braggy?
I think some women do. Not all. I don't think it's a majority, but you see women with guys that are braggarts, and they seem to stay with them.
It's probably fun at first, and then after a while, it's like, I get it. My gosh.
I don't even like friends that brag.
Okay.
So, you know, if you buy something going, you know how much I paid for this? I don't care. Now you're bragging about paying for it. So
women are naturally more curious and suspicious than men.
Sus.
Yeah.
I do have questions about everything.
Okay. And that's especially with details as well. Like a man comes home, you know, and talks about Charlie and Melissa breaking up and like you want to know the details.
Don't even start it with me because half the time when I'm like, what happened? I don't know.
All right.
Well, is he okay? I don't know. Is she okay? I don't know. What do you know? They broke off.
All right. Things men should know about women. And this kind of ties in. They say that it's said that women can only keep a secret for about 47 hours.
Ooh, that's good. I don't last that long.
I was just saying, that seems long to me.
The thing is, my sister and mom don't count when it comes to secrets.
Right.
There's like a triangle, and we all tell each other everything. And then my husband, wow, I'm not good at keeping secrets.
First of all, it's very clear to anyone who knows me, if you tell me something, my wife is going to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't keep secrets from her.
I saw a meme, and if I can remember, it says, I told my sister something and told her not to tell mom. She told mom and told mom not to tell me. Mom called me and told me that she told me, but don't tell her that she told me. And I'm like, and then it says something like, all three of us know the same thing, but neither one of us can talk about it.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's how it is.
Yeah. Okay, things that men should know about women. Women spend roughly a year of their life deciding what to wear. I would say it's more than that.
Depends how bloated I am.
Okay.
That's going to take a little longer because the outfit I had planned in my head, now it doesn't look good and I'm scrambling and I'm panicking.
And it depends on where you're going because I've been to Walmart. They don't think about it there. They just get up and walk out.
All right. A woman's favorite song often expresses her feelings better than her words do. And chick rock moments may happen at any time, especially in the car. Most men don't understand it. But they have to just grin and bear it for like 3 minutes to let them go ahead and sing their song in the car.
Yeah.
That like old Alanis Morissette song?
Oh, any
where
song.
Where she's angry and
want
she and she's,
you to know.
It could be Adele. It could be any, you know, chick song.
No, I'm more of Alanis. And when she's all angry, I'll just look at him and I'll start singing it.
All right. Things that men should know about women. Women's public restrooms are 3 times worse and disgusting than men's.
Probably.
I've heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Women buy shoes a size or two smaller because they're in denial about the size of their feet.
No, I didn't want to pay full price, and those were on sale.
Okay. A woman can tolerate twice as much pain as a man.
Okay, hold on. There was a time when I was pregnant where I was really sick, and I was still like coming into work. I was still. John has a cold right now, and he's been RIP all week. Like, he is literally walking around the house like, every couple of seconds.
Well, they say men and women experience pain differently.
Yeah, we suck it up.
For man, the pain of a common cold is about the same as what a woman experiences when giving birth.
I wish you could give birth and then report back to me what you think about that.
Things that men should know about women. They say, once in a while, let her pick the movie and don't complain about it.
I agree. You got to share interests.
I would agree as well.
We just don't watch movies together.
Women love home improvement. That's why they love improving their man's fashion once they get into a relationship.
Oh, I don't mess with his fashion a lot, but I did just buy a nail gun, and I'm very excited about the possibilities.
Are you going to use it to build something?
I mean, that's the plan.
Well, it could have been something else. Duck, John.
When you say nail gun, it's not for your nails, correct?
No, it's a legit nail gun.
All right. 60% of women's hair color is not real. 60%. That's
a
statistic.
Move on, Hawk.
That seems low.
All right. The minute she decides she's mildly interested in a man, she starts making mental pictures of what the kid looks like. There's actually apps for that now. You put your pictures in and you can see what your kids will look like.
You see what that thinks your kids are going to look like.
Right, yeah. I don't believe all of that.
All right. And then women love a clean-shaven face.
No.
Okay, you don't?
No, he looks like an infant. And then I look creepy. I love when he has a little, what do you call it?
5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Okay, but some girls don't like that. They say test or rub medium-grade sandpaper across your face, and that's what it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
To kiss a guy with a shadow.
No, that's not what my wife says at all. My wife says it's somewhere up near the pain of giving birth is when she kisses me and I have growth.
Seriously?
She's like, ow! Ow, that hurts. I'm like, really? Is it that bad?
She's like, where's my epidural?
He's like, the same feeling I have in bed at night when your legs rub against mine.
Yes. It's a rough feeling. I'm surprised lips aren't chapped.
Well, they kind of are. Oh. Come to think of it. It's worth it, though. I love that scruff. It looks so good on him.
Okay, but when you kiss, do you like it?
No, it hurts.
Okay.
But that's not the point.
She's willing to go through the pain for her man.
Yeah, I don't want to kiss. I just want to look at you.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I'm not sure I completely agree with this, but there's a new study out that says living the simple life can make us happier. I think it depends on your personality type.
Yeah.
I think there are some people who live a happier life when they are constantly waiting for the next greatest, latest thing. They're super excited when the iPhone 16 and a half is coming out and they're saving up for it, and that makes them happy. There's other people that do enjoy the simple life.
And there's the ones that enjoy drama. They have to have drama in their life.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So they don't want it too simple.
I believe in the simpler life. In fact, I've already been talking about moving into a one-bedroom condo somewhere.
No, I thought you were saying it was the one bedroom where they had a padded wall and you were going to be
in case I trip and fall. Yeah.
With that cute jacket.
That jacket on.
Love.
And people, they're there to take care of you.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, it's nice to be taken care of.
Yeah.
They say there are five things that kind of fill out the simple life for people. They say you don't want to buy too much junk because that makes you have a less happy life. But they said material simplicity means you don't buy a lot of stuff you don't need.
Right? I've noticed this with my parents. They are older now. They're like, I got to get rid of all this stuff I've collected all my life. And then trying to get rid of it is pretty, especially if it's worth something, because you can take most stuff to Goodwill or someplace like that. But if it's worth something, you don't want to just throw it away.
When my dad passed, I had to clean out his house.
Yeah.
And it made me realize then, somebody's going to have to clean out mine.
Yeah.
So I'm getting rid of anything I do not use. Friends had a yard sale recently. I took stuff over there and just $5. It doesn't matter.
You know what, though? Life is short. And if the purchase makes me happy, I'm a purchase it.
But it collects dust. You don't even use half of it.
Yep.
Well, same for all the clothes in my closet, but I'm not getting rid of them.
You wasted money.
Yeah.
No, I didn't, because it
wasted,
made me happy.
What would you have done with it otherwise?
You would be there in your retirement so you don't have to work until you're 75.
See, and this is something my husband and I always talk about, because he's like, what about retirement? And I'm like, what if I step out on Woodruff Road and get hit by a bus tomorrow?
Yep.
Who cares about retirement?
Tom has been such a bad influence on you.
I've been a good influence on her.
Exactly, because I've been saying that, and now I've got someone smarter than me who backs it up.
I'm with y'all on that, but I'm not going to spend my money on stuff that I'll never use or don't need. I'd rather spend my money on trips with friends or weekend getaways.
I'm not with you on that, but I also waste my money on things.
We know.
I know I do. Yeah. I'm like, and I want to stop. But no. I can't. I'm like, you know what? That Abflex looks so appealing on that, you know, commercial.
It's not working.
I know. I bought it. My abs look the same. It's sitting in my closet.
I saw something yesterday that says, I've been paying for the gym for 10 months and haven't seen one thing change on my body. Yeah. So I'm going tomorrow to see what's going on.
Self-sufficiency is another thing. It includes being able to cook your meals, maybe even as far as growing your own food. I don't want to have to be so self-sufficient that if I can't count on me, I'm in trouble. I want to have other people helping out, too. And that might be the restaurant.
Or the people that are making, you know, those Ritz crackers at Nabisco. Yeah. Putting them in a package for me.
Yeah, because I don't even know where those things grow.
Yeah. Do you plant them? Are they seeds? Yeah.
Banquet meals. I took my own in the microwave.
Now, they say also buying local, not buying everything on Amazon. I don't see how that makes any difference in this day and age. If it can be there in a day or less, I don't care where it came from.
So they're saying that's not a simple life?
They're saying that is the simple life.
To buy local.
Yes.
I think you should buy local.
I think if you can, you should, but I'm not going to worry about it since I can get stuff from one day either way.
And then Amazon's going to rule the earth, and then prices will soar because all these mom and pop and local places have been shut down.
Have you been?
That's many years from now. It won't affect us. It's our kids and grandkids.
It already is.
I mean, I agree. Shop local when you can, but in terms of simplicity, there's nothing more simplistic than sitting on the couch in your pajamas ordering something.
Pushing a button, and it comes 2 days later.
Your dog barks. You're like, that's Amazon.
That's simple.
Okay, resource conservation, meaning you don't waste food and you try to repair things instead of replacing them. That's a mixed bag. We repaired our Keurig machine, and it was hard. I mean, we watched the video. I got my hand stuck in that little thing, barely got it all done, but I did it, and I saved myself about $200.
Yeah, but that ain't part of the simple life, because you get there, you try to change that garbage disposal out, and all of a sudden you're like, I did what? What's that part there? Oh, no, and then you try to turn it on, it doesn't come on. You got to hire somebody to come out. Takes them 2 days later, and then that's not simple. It's I just don't think fixing your own stuff is good.
Depends on what it is.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. This next one, beneficence. That is the correct pronunciation. I spell it for you, but I can't. They say it's the most important one, and that is sharing skills, resources, and helping build your community.
Absolutely.
Not a chance.
No, but that's good. That's what we're all here for, community.
No. I'm here for living as a hermit, and I'll call somebody to do that stuff.
Hawk was like, absolutely, without missing a beat. You're like, never.
Not a chance.
But we're built for community. We're built to see other people and engage. Yeah.
No, really, not everybody.
You know what? But don't you take anxiety medicine?
Oh, my God.
I've been taking anxiety medicine because I work with you.
Well, two things. First, you need to up your anxiety medicine. Secondly, you get involved in the community. You get involved in the HOA. You've been on the board.
Yeah.
I've never been to one meeting, one neighborhood meeting at all.
Oh, my gosh. I love HOA meetings. Last time, there were these two women fighting over dogs, and I was like, if I would have brought popcorn, this would have been perfect.
You should have brought your phone. I like to watch that.
But investing in other people's lives is what gives you joy.
Most people's lives aren't worth investing in.
Well, your kids, your family, your surroundings.
That's in my house. That's fine.
Some of your buddies that you, your one or two friends that you have.
Those are all fine, but not like some HOA meeting.
Okay, so you can get a hold of them on your cell phone, and that's good enough.
Well, those people. Half of them are loons, man. You got the HOA are made up of the Karens of the world who want to make rules for other people. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally get their jollies on fining other people for being in a pool too late.
And they fine for the weirdest things and then things that are actually problematic.
Are they suddenly blind?
They don't see the issue? It's so frustrating.
Why don't you and Tom go out and talk somewhere else?
I don't want to be out talking to anybody right now.
We're the HOA for this show.
Do people call you entitled, privileged, and aggressive? You are actually a victim. Call for help at Karen's Anonymous.
Hi, my name is Joanne.
Hi, Karen.
What? My name is... Anyway, I'm addicted to asking for the manager.
Because the first step to Karen recovery is admitting that you are one.
I'm a Karen.
And even if your restaurant service was unacceptable, you must accept yourself.
I wasn't always a Karen. It started with a simple bob haircut. Then I bought a live, laugh, love sign, and pretty soon I was calling the cops on a barbecue.
Get help today by calling Karen's Anonymous.
I need to speak to my manager.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You know, those people who dominate every conversation, only talk about themselves, and you just want to tell them just to shut up.
I've had to do that.
What?
I've had to do that.
You told them to be quiet.
I've had friends in the past that you'll say something and they got to up it. They got to
one-uppers.
Add their comment or what they went through when they're talking about this.
I got a friend who's like that too. He's even worse.
What?
I got it.
But yeah, and they'll cut you off. Oh, it took me a minute, Tom. I got it.
Hawk is still figuring it out.
I'm trying.
Tom's that friend. But yeah, I've had to say, hey, I'm not through talking.
Okay. Yeah. Out of all the people that talk, though, Tom, you can't call me out for talking.
I don't think you understood.
No.
Oh, is he talking about you?
I was saying there's somebody out there that always one-ups you. And
I one-upped him.
Yes.
Oh!
It took me a second.
Slow kid in the class. Sorry.
My brother-in-law said one time, I'm sorry, did the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours? And I was like, solid burn.
I got to remember that.
It's
like that.
So good.
Okay, but this is more so if the conversation is stale and boring, this could be a perfect gift for you because the team at MIT, they're working on wearable technology, kind of like a Fitbit now, uses artificial intelligence, then vibrates to let you know when you're being boring or talking too much.
Dude, you're going to get a workout.
Okay, that one's aimed at me, right?
That was.
I just want to make sure.
How does it know?
It monitors things like your heart rate and your blood pressure. It also monitors the tone of a conversation by picking up things like long pauses and how often you repeat yourself.
So this is basically going to confirm when I start panicking in a conversation because I've gotten boring can tell, the watch is going to be like, yes, you are boring.
But I don't think there's many people that are boring that realize that they are boring and they're telling boring stories.
That's what would be great about this, but is it going to tell them.
But is it going to keep, how does it know? If it depends on your heart rate, that person thinks.
That's a good point.
They say the algorithm they're using can already tell if the conversation's happy or sad with about 85% accuracy. But right now, it pulls most of the data from the person who's wearing it, and they're still working on a better way to analyze multiple voices in the conversation.
They just need AI.
Yeah.
AI should be able to tell if you're being boring or not.
But do we really need this, though? I guess it would be the nice way, because you can't just say to your friend, you know what, this conversation is just boring me to death.
No, you're like, here, try this thing out I just found. It's really cool. You'll like it.
If it starts beeping, you know that you are boring.
Maybe there should be devices everyone wears, and when you're boring, anyone can press that button to tell you to hush.
Wouldn't it be cool if it shocked them?
Oh.
And like all of a sudden this person's telling a boring story, and they're like,
kind of like a YouTube video. It's like, you know what? You just put pause. They had like a pause button on their head. Just pause and walk away.
Or skip.
Skip this ad. But they are working on this now. So if you don't know if you're boring or you repeat yourself and people are being bored by your conversation, this could be a good little present for you in the future.
Well, with Apple Watches, you kind of already do know. Because you ever been in conversation with someone and they put their wrist up in your face and you're like, okay, I guess I'm done talking.
Well, that is a good way to do it. When someone starts looking at their cell phone and just ignores everything you're saying, you know that's a boring conversation.
Yeah, but that's not their fault.
That they're rude?
No, they need to
listen to the story about when I was a kid.
I think that it could make humanity better because I think maybe some of the people telling these boring stories will get shuffled to the back and they won't be telling them anymore.
Well, they say it's really useful for things like first dates and job interviews. So you'll be on the job interview and that thing will be vibrating.
You're mid-story and you're like, so back to the job.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know whether or not those people could pull together a good story to fill in the gap or not. They might just end up getting shocked and then going, I don't know what to do.
Well, no one gets shocked. That was your idea. It's like,
I know, I like it though.
It's just a gentle vibrating nudge, I think.
Some people need the shock.
Yeah. Now, I want to separate this. Like, my mom, God bless her soul, she is one of those people who will tell you a story, and then she'll say, now, stop me if I told you this before. And you're like, oh, you told it to us before. And then she goes on and tells it.
Yeah.
But bless her heart, she tells it so well that you don't mind listening to it a second time. But then there's people who tell a story you haven't heard before that it's so boring you don't even want to listen to it the first time. Those people need to get shocked.
Is that a joke about me again? I couldn't tell.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
You spend more than $1,000 a year doing this, and you don't even want to do it.
Ah, yeah, going out.
It is sort of going out. They say 52% of people feel pressured into attending or contributing to expensive social events, such as group meals, baby showers, housewarmings, and fundraisers. We get suckered into spending our hard-earned money on these things, and it's a lot of money, over $1,000 a year.
How about kids' birthday parties?
That probably fall into the category.
Well, one, they get a bunch of money, and then you got 30 others to go to, and you got to take them, drive them there, you gas to burn that, and you got to buy all these birthday presents.
That's why I think from a young age, you should not even tell your kids they have birthdays. So they'll never know how to celebrate.
Yeah.
You never know about buying all the gifts.
Unfortunately, the other kids will tell them.
I know.
My kid's so nice, though, with my money. He's like, you know, we weren't able to go to Ricky's birthday party, but I'm just going to take his gift to school. Like, no. Anyway, I wound up buying Ricky a gift.
Well,
happy
they
birthday.
Say weddings are the worst, costing over $200. They say also whenever you have people with birthday celebrations, that will cost you almost $200. And an average of about $150 on things like bachelor and bachelorette parties. But 51% say they are upset about having to spend their money on others and would prefer their hard-earned cash was used elsewhere.
The bachelor and bachelorette parties are brutal because you have to split all the costs for the bride or groom.
Right.
So their hotel, their trip to get there, all that is now a part of your expense.
Really?
Plus you cover their food.
Wow.
Plus you got all the,
I'm not going.
Yeah, you got to get all the little trinkety things, the fun straws, all that
kind of
stuff.
I didn't know that you're supposed to pay for the bachelor's hotel room.
I thought
that
the groom's, the main, the best man, I thought, paid for
really?
All that. I thought
no,
he planned
usually
it.
Usually everyone who goes splits the cost of the bride or groom.
Mm-hmm.
No way
the best man can afford all of that.
Yeah, seriously. True. I'd be like, you know what? We are really tight, but I'm not going to be your best man.
What would they rather do with this money? 60% would rather keep the cash and save it. 47% would like to put it towards a holiday. And 33% would like to spend it on a hobby. But here's why we don't say no to these events. First of all, people are afraid of looking rude. They're afraid of appearing stingy. They don't want to be, quote, the difficult one. So they give the money and they go along with it, even though they're not happy about it.
You should not. You can throw a party for your kid, but don't expect everybody to bring a gift. You can throw a bachelor party or a wedding shower.
But don't
think that people are obligated to buy you a gift. You're not a difficult one if you don't buy a gift. I don't buy gifts is what I'm trying to say.
We gathered that.
He's embarrassed.
Yes. No, I'm not embarrassed at all.
I always
My appearance is a gift.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Y'all better be excited because I'm here right now.
Wow.
His presence is your present.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what? Most of the time, like on the kids' like invites or something, like no presents needed, but most of the time the parents will buy presents at kids' birthday parties.
Well, yeah, you don't want to show up without.
I
You're
know,
eating their food that they got and all that. And
but it looks classy to say no need for a present when you know they're going to buy one anyway.
Yeah, because if they don't, you're still going to judge them, right? Yeah.
Well, 60% of people have lied to get out of a costly event, claiming they already have plans or family commitments, or maybe they have someone who they're feeling unwell. So they come up with these different lies to say, sorry, I can't make your expensive event.
All right.
So that's much better than what you're doing, Cato, just to let you know.
Okay, I'm going to try that next time.
Might want to do
I
that.
Hope my friends have not been listening this morning.
Well, and here in the Upstate, we get a lot of charity events you get invited to.
Yes.
And those are expensive because you're donating money. you know, for the whatever they're trying to raise money for.
My charity is I round up at the register at the grocery store. You want to round up? Sure.
Okay, but don't you go to some of the charity events where they're wanting you to donate and you got the silent auctions and stuff?
And if I see something I want, but I'm just not going to buy something that I don't want.
But it's helping the kids, Cato.
I got suckered into a trip for New York on that. And I didn't read the fine print. And we had to get there ourselves. Once we got there, we had a hotel. Yeah. But I was like, no wonder that was so cheap.
But I've done a lot of that. In fact, we had a friend who used to throw charity events. She loved it when I was there because I would go around and bid on all the silent auction items and push up the price. And I was always praying people would outbid me. One time I had a charge on a credit card. I called the credit card company. I'm like, this is $300. I didn't do this. And the girl goes, looks like a charity. I'm like, yep, me. That's me.
Because you were drinking.
I won the charity.
It's not because he was drinking. It's because no one came by and outbid him. Yes. He was counting on someone bidding more than him.
But I didn't remember it either.
Yeah.
Hawk's right, too.
Well, don't feel bad if you need to turn this stuff down. They say if you're actually having to dip into your savings to pay for these things, it's okay to say, I can't do that.
Yeah. I always hate at the register when they say, hey, do you want to help out some kids and donate today? And I'm like, no, I don't.
I don't know those kids.
Maybe you should work on your delivery.
I probably should. A little bit.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Well, you know, staring at your screens all day can be rough on your eyes. And they found about 90% of us now stare at our screens for at least 2 hours a day. And 52% regularly use two devices while they are, you know, doing something. Like they might be watching TV in their cell phone or iPads. And then you got the people that sit at their computer desk all day long. Mm-hmm. And they're staring at that computer and it's going to be causing you some problems. What kind of problems?
What kind of problems?
31% of people in the study said they regularly suffer from sore eyes. My eyes are just sore. If you got a sore in your eyes, it could be pink eye or that little sty in your eye. Oh, you know why?
Man, but then you rub them, and it's like you see other colors and stuff. You rub them so hard.
Yeah, psychedelic.
Feels good, don't it?
So good.
30% have neck and shoulder pain because they're staring at a screen.
Let's go back to the sore eyes for a second. All right. That's easy to fix.
Okay. All
you got to do is go and find someone who's a sight for sore eyes.
Tom.
They say that.
Yeah. Okay. They say 23% have headaches. So, fellas, that headache she has is real.
It is.
Yeah. Not yours.
22% have blurry vision because they stare at the screen all day. Yep. Okay, that's pretty bad if you're getting blurry vision. And then 22% suffer from dry eyes.
I mean, yeah, but I had all that before the screens too, so.
Okay, so here's a ways to make things a little bit easier on your eyes. See if you can abide by some of these things. Remember the 20/20/20 rule. Do you know what the 20/20/20 rule is?
I can see 20/20. I can't see the other 20.
Take a 20-second break every 20 minutes and stare at something that's at least 20 feet away.
That ain't happening.
20/20/20.
Like a coworker, just stare at them.
Boy, that'd be awkward, wouldn't it?
It would. I got 19 more seconds. Hawk, wait.
Then you wouldn't have a sore eye. You'd have a black eye. Why are you staring at me? Okay, so the 20/20/20-second rule is something you can do. Tom says he ain't going to do it.
How about this? No one's going to do it.
Well, you can't say no one's going to do it.
No one's going to do that.
There's somebody listening today. I bet you one person's going to at least
do it.
Okay. Reduce any overhead lights that cause a glare on your screen. Your eyes have to work harder if there's a glare anywhere. Yeah. You know, sometimes you got your laptop out or something, and there's that light in the back.
And don't you hate when you're watching something, maybe at someone's house, oh, and they have the window behind you,
yes,
and all you see is the sun, uh-huh, in the TV, and that's all I focus on.
Yeah, I can't even see with the movie.
Yeah.
It's like I'm focusing on whatever that window is.
Yeah,
I'm it's
like,
weird.
I see a bird out there.
Yeah. Those people are idiots. Who sets their TV up like that?
A lot of people. Didn't think about it, okay? ours is set up this way, and it drives me insane, but it makes the flow of the house better, because we could like move the furniture, so it makes sense, but oh my gosh, at a certain time of day, I'm like, don't even turn the TV on.
Yeah, I got a two-story ceiling, and I got the lighting right, and I don't have blinds on like this little row of windows, and I can't watch movies during the day because the lighting's so horrible.
Yeah, you don't even get scared during a scary movie because it's so dark on the screen, and you're like, I can't see anything.
Yeah,
the glare.
Exactly.
I'm just listening to my question.
They say sit so your screen is at least arm's length away. Closer than that is even worse on your eyes. So if you have to lean closer, then you might want to get your vision checked. So if you're kind of even and talking about cell phones as well, this is something. Increase the size of your text so your computer or cell phone can handle, you can handle that.
Yeah, and then your friends make jokes about you.
Yeah.
Believe me, I have a friend every time he's like, man, I can see your text from over here.
It's like, what is that, a billboard you got?
I'm like, I don't strain my eyes, do I?
Yeah. And the texting can only get so big. You almost want it bigger. It's almost like it's when you're in second grade and you're learning how to do your letters and they're so big.
Yes.
It's like you're writing as you continue on gets smaller and smaller throughout your life.
Right.
It starts out those big letters, or if you like a girl and you got the big hearts with the, over the eyes and stuff.
What did you call that the other day, the writing?
Bubble letter?
Bubble letters,
yeah. So you are having some digital eye strain from your habits now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? You're going to go out either way.
Okay.
Go out watching a funny reel.
Well, you won't be able to watch it, but you can hear it.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.